The following message is the first in a series of six messages entitled, The Weapons of Our Warfare. For additional copies of this message, write John Osteen Ministries, Post Office Box 23117, Houston, Texas 77228.
All right, let's turn in our Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Now, how many of you know we have services here on Wednesday night? How many of you have ever been to a service here on Wednesday night? Raise your hand and wave it. I want to see it. All right, you're cordially invited to come next Wednesday night. How many of you have never been here to a Wednesday night service? Lift up your hand. Oh, friends, you don't know what you miss. Some of the greatest miracles we ever have in the church are performed by the Lord Jesus on our Wednesday night healing services when we teach the Bible also. So bring the sick and the suffering and bring them in here. We'll pray for them. We'll pray in different ways, but God blesses. And it's not unusual to have from 700-800 people to 1,000 people on Wednesday night. Now, how many of you would come Wednesday night if we'd give you $1,000? Be honest with me, would you? I mean, you think you could make it. Well, you're going to get something Wednesday night worth more than $1,000. Say amen again.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you that we are majoring on obeying the Holy Ghost, but we're going to get you out earlier since it's school time. Now, I want you to know that. Now, if you have to get up and leave and we just look like we're not going to be able to do it, get up and go. If you heard me, say amen.
Amen.
I mean, some people have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning. Take some 35, 40 minutes or an hour to get home. But normally, we're going to conserve time, but we're not going to grieve the Holy Ghost. You know, we're just not going to waste time. And tonight, I know it'll be the same way. We'll not keep you all night tonight, so come on back. And even if you had to leave, just if you have to leave, you have to leave. So come and stay as long as you can. But during school session, we'll seek to try our best to not grieve the Holy Ghost, but not waste your time, but feed you the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, this morning, we're going to have a Bible study that'll not be too long, just sort of laying a foundation for some things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can you say amen? You know, I'm so glad the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. I'm so glad I have the good news to tell everybody everywhere that He is one who can save unto the uttermost them that come to God by Him. I'm glad that He's the great Redeemer that's redeemed us from the curse of the law. He is the joy of my heart. He is my very life. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, He is the message that we need to give to a lost and dying world. Let's just praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just lift up your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Say, thank God I'm saved. Well, now, when you got saved, I want you to know that you enlisted, among other things, in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, he said, be strong and endure hardness as a good what?
Soldier.
As a good what?
Soldier.
As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A lot of people, see, when they get saved, they think just because they have a little trouble and a little opposition that they just ought to just back up, sit down, go home, and forget it. Friends, when you got saved, you enlisted in the army of God. And we are to endure what?
Hardness.
Tell me out loud.
Hardness.
Tell everybody, tell me.
Hardness.
Hardness. Tell me out loud.
Hardness.
Now, I didn't say it all be easy. We are to endure hardness because we have an enemy. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know, friends, that he can't devour me. I want you to say, he can't devour me.
He can't devour me.
I don't taste good to the devil.
I don't taste good to the devil.
He can't devour me.
He can't devour me.
Because the greater one is in me. But you see, you are in a warfare. There are supernatural forces arrayed against you and your household because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church is a church where we not only worship God, not only evangelize the world, but we teach the Word of God in order that you might fight the good fight of faith. Now, you know, if you don't come but about once a Sunday, once a week, you're not going to have too much armor to go with. Somebody said, well, I get along without church just as well as I can with church. But you can't. You need the fellowship of the saints. You need to know the Word of God, and you need to know it while you're able to understand it before you get sick, before you get down. Well, now, the Bible here is talking about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're just, we don't fight like the people of the world. But they're mighty through God. Now, you know the weapons of our warfare are found in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to talk to you about. The fact that if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, and really life is a fight, whether you call it the fight of faith or not, it's just a battle. I mean, you got to battle the devil. You got to battle the devil with the Word of God. You got to stand true in faith, believe in the Word of God from the time you, really belong to Jesus, raising a family, going on through life. It is a battle. How many of you know that life's not always easy? Put up your hand. You got to fight the devil off of your children. You got to stand on the Word of God in that area. You got to fight the devil and stand on the Word of God with your marriage. You got to do a lot. You got to just stand up and just say no. You're not going to have my home. You're not going to have my home. You're not going to have my children. It's a fight. Well, the weapons of our warfare are supernatural weapons, and they're gifts of the Holy Ghost. I want you to turn in the book of Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 12. Now I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Version. You can turn it, look at it in the King James Version. I like to teach out of that. But in the Amplified Version, it's especially good. Now the thing that the Lord seemed to impress upon me this morning, to impress upon you, is this. That we, if we're not careful, we'll just rock along through life, memorizing scriptures, quoting scriptures, and just living a good consecrated life and going to church, and that's all there is to it. But God wants you to know more about the Christian life than that. We are supposed to be supernaturally endowed people. Thank you for those 20 week amens.
Amen.
In Isaiah 8:18, it said, Jesus is talking there, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. We are to be supernaturally endowed by the mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost. I remember, Brother Don, when I first got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, I couldn't understand deliverance. I couldn't understand how to get God to work. I couldn't get my mind unmuddled with denominational doctrine, but I kept reading the Gospels and reading the epistles, and I read 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 and I read, and one day, as it were, there emerged out of those pages of Scripture a beautiful person. He was sparkling with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the devil trembled at the very sight of him. I'll tell you, he spoke and demons went out. I'll tell you, he laid his hands on the sick and they recovered, and he literally sparkled with the divine supernatural power of God. And I said, who in the world is this? And the Lord said, this is the New Testament believer. Glory to God. I said, I'm glad I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I tell you, when you really see what God wants you to be and what you can be, I'll tell you, friends, it'll thrill your heart. You are to sparkle. You are to scintillate. You are to shine with a supernatural power through the gifts of the Holy Ghost that will amaze and startle this old world. I'll tell you, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. They're the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there are many, many weapons, you know, like the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and all of that. But I'll tell you, our real weapons are the gifts of the Holy Ghost because they're supernatural. Now, I want to read to you out of the Amplified Version, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, about supernatural gifts. Now, open both ears. If you don't have the Amplified, just look at me. I'm going to read you what that really means in the Greek as the Holy Ghost gave it. Now, about supernatural gifts. And here's what it says. The special endowments of supernatural energy. I like that. Special endowments, Nelda, of supernatural energy. Now, you know, when you touch a socket and feel energy coming out of there, brother, you know it. And God has provided special endowments of supernatural energy. I like that. I want that supernatural energy flowing through me. If there's anything in the world I want, it's that. I'll tell you. And you know, God impressed me that if we're not careful, we won't have a hunger and a thirst and a longing for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I want to so preach and so present it to you from time to time that you can't live without the joy of seeing and feeling this supernatural energy in your life. Thank God for the Word. But I'll tell you, brother, there are gifts of the Holy Ghost. And God hadn't left anybody behind the door when he passed them out. They're all forever. God has them for all the body of Christ. I mean, I don't care if you're just an ignorant farmer or a smart scientist. God wants you, if you belong to him, to have supernatural energy. Amen. Somebody said, why do you just go like this? I got supernatural energy. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. I tell you, thank God you can feel God. And sometimes that energy is coursing through you when you don't even feel it. It's there whether you feel it or not. Special endowments. He said now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or misinformed. And I do not know, David Ingalls, of anything the great denominational world is more ignorant of and misinformed about than the supernatural gifts. Are you out there?
Amen.
Well, I preached 19 years and didn't understand one thing about them. Went to college and seminary, never taught me anything about it. I remember, and I've told you this before, but I want to tell you again, when I was pastor of Central Baptist Church in Baytown, Texas, I got thrilled with 1 Corinthians 12. And I didn't have the baptism, didn't know what it meant, but I saw in there was something there for all Christians. And so I got up and I said, friends, I found something wonderful. And I began to preach on the gifts of the Spirit in all my ignorance. And I mean, I relegated the gift of tongues to linguistic ability. And I said, now, the gift of miracle, the gift of healings and miracles is in the doctor's hands today. And the gift of the word of wisdom and knowledge is in our great Baptist universities. And you know, I remember to this day the utter confusion that came to my mind. And I stopped in the middle of it and said, friends, I don't know what I'm talking about. And I didn't have any idea the great mass. I would say 75 to 80% of the Christian community knows absolutely nothing about the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural energy that is available to them. And I'll tell you, I think we ought to tell them. I think we ought to tell them. I think we ought to tell them. I said, I think we ought to tell them. We ought to tell them. Oh, we ought to tell them. I can't stand the thought of those precious Catholics and Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and all the Lutherans and all the rest of them doing without this. They ought to know that they don't have to drag through life, that they can have the blessed baptism in the Holy Ghost and be endowed with supernatural energy. Oh, glory to God. That's what this church is all about. We just got a filling station out here. Praise God, pull up and we'll put the pump to you. Hallelujah. Why, you say, well, do I have to join to come? No, we don't care whether you join or not. Long as we got your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, your money, what do we need with your name? Glory to God. Leave your name over there on the Catholic Church roll. We don't care. Let them have it as long as it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Praise God. You can just come over here and enjoy it. Praise God. Well, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. And my, how ignorant the Christian community is today. Because they never hear anything at all about it. Well, certainly we ought not to be ignorant about it. I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do as an audience. Now, many of you, you won't do it. You just let it go in one ear, out the other. I'm going to confess something better on you. You will do it. I want you to write down on a piece of card, just a little white card. Now, don't take all our envelopes and things like that. Get your own paper. One or two questions you want to know, not only about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, or about anything in the Bible. I can answer any question you ask in three words. I don't know. But if I do know, I'll tell you. If I don't know, I'll try to find it out, and I'll pray about it, you see. But this just reminds me, I've been intending to tell you this, and in the services, from time to time, you know, I'll answer one or two of those questions, and you'll have to come to them all to see when I answer yours. Now, how many of you have a question you would like? You're not going to ask it publicly here, but there's something about the Bible or some doctrine or some other thing you've often wondered about, like, clear it up, put up your hand. All right, you're the ones I'm talking about. You know, some people don't know there's a difference between the Holy Spirit. I mean, they think there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. You know, actually, that's the truth. Some people think, some people don't know where you go when you die. I mean, they don't know whether you just, you know, just unconscious the rest of the time until Jesus comes. They don't know. I mean, people sitting in churches like this, because we just never taught on anything like that. You know, maybe we haven't touched on it. Now, you don't have to be writing now. Listen to me now. You can write later that question down there, but turn it in to me tonight. You say, I'm not coming tonight. Yes, you are. You just didn't know it. Turn it in to me tonight. Just walk up. Just hand it to me. You don't have to sign it or anything. We want to help you. Why should you come a year without having your questions answered? Well, now, the Bible says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Now, those spiritual gifts are supernatural. The gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of miracles, the gifts of healings, the gift of faith, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Those are our weapons. Those are our weapons. Those are our weapons. Brother, you can't, I'll tell you, friends, you can't whip somebody that's got inside information from God. Now, you think about Elijah, Elisha. Over there, when they were fighting the Syrians, and he had insight. See, he had the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He had the gifts of revelation, and God would tell him by the gifts of revelation where the Syrian army was coming down, and he'd tell the king of Israel. all about. Said, go down such and such a way and don't go this way because they're going to ambush you down there. And I'm telling you, it's driving these people over there in the Syrian command up the wall. I mean, every time they moved, everybody knew. And he gathered his generals together and he said, I'd like to have a little information. Who is for the king of Israel? Because every time I move, he knows what I'm doing. Every time I attack, he knows where I'm going to attack. Every time I go down one road, he goes down the other. Glory. That's what got the devil having a nervous breakdown right now with people like you. Are you out there? And they said, oh, king, he said, nobody's for the king of Israel. Said, but there's a man down there. He's full of, he didn't say this, but this is what they meant. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And he said, what you whisper in your bedchamber, God tells him. Ooh, hallelujah. Think about supernatural weapons. Think about supernatural weapons. Think about it. Supernatural weapons. And we not only have the gifts of revelation, we got them all today. I mean, we have the weapons of our warfare available to us through the Holy Ghost. We ought not to have to take a back seat to anybody. Now, I'll tell you what the Syrian army did. One lone little skinny preacher. I think he's about my size. 5'7", the average size God made everybody. The rest of them are too short and too tall. Now here's this one little skinny preacher down there, and he's walking around saying, oh, I love you, God. I love you, Jehovah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, you know, they could have sent one big strong man down there, about like Millard Garner over there, and taken him by the nape of the neck. But you know what they did? They sent a whole army. A whole army to get one little, skinny, Holy Ghost-filled preacher. Amen. Amen. I like the way he says that. Glory. Stay with it. Amen, amen, amen. I like these accents. Now think of the irony of this. Think of how ironical this is. Now when the young man gets up that attended Elijah, and he came out there and looked in the early morning hours, he's stretching, you know, and rubbing his eyes, and he sees hundreds, possibly thousands of soldiers. Now I'll tell you, that's a picture of how the devil fears a spirit-filled and a spirit-endowed individual. A whole army to get one man full of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, that young man looked out there and he said, alas, master, what shall we do? They that be for, they're out there to get us. They're out there to get us. Look at, what are we going to do? And you know, he came out there, he had the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost, God will tell you what to do. And I can imagine immediately the gift of revelation came and he began to see all of those things, you see. And he said, don't worry, they that be for us are more than they that be against us. Man, I can see that young man's eyes getting big. He says, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, even by the new math, that makes 2. 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, just 2 of us. And if my eyes don't deceive me, I see thousands. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. Oh, that God would open our eyes in this new covenant day to see that we've got far more than Elisha had. Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the mountains were full of the chariots of fire and horses round about Elisha. Praise God. I tell you, brother, he could see into the spirit world. And I want you to know the gift of miracles came into operation and he just smote them with blindness. Praise God. And just led them like a little patch of dogs, you know, coming behind them. You know, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I think about Joseph down there in the dungeon and didn't have an opportunity to do much of anything, you see. And you know what? In a few hours, he was up there as the head mogul of the whole situation. And you know what got him there? The gifts of revelation. Praise God. Why, think about Daniel. Why, Daniel, in a moment's time, was elevated to be the prime minister of the great kingdom of Babylon. How? By the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And today, they had a limited portion of them. They were servants. We are sons and we're daughters. And Jesus died that we might have the privilege, all of us, of having the Holy Ghost. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's the ultimate end of all of it, that we might be the temples of the Holy Ghost. They're weapons, weapons. And we ought to yearn for them. Let me go on here real quickly in the Amplified. It says here, in the 31st verse, very, very wonderful. It says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the best gifts, or the greatest gifts, or any of the gifts that are best for you or best for the church. Now, the thing I want to emphasize, earnestly desire, zealously cultivate. Now, he's talking to a church. Now, listen to me, friends. As a church, there ought to be such a hunger, such a desire for the supernatural. Earnestly desire and zealously cultivate. I mean, make it a serious business. Say, God, we want, as a church and I as an individual, we want to get into the supernatural. Let me tell you young people something. You have never had a high. You've never had a blessing. You've never had a thrill like the thrill of seeing God Almighty work through your human body in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, falese, neko tila mafa fatatele, estekere ifronde stemahandre, ifrodesaka hashemaha sotele mahasa. And yes, saith the Lord, I desire to use you. And if you will seek my face and look up to me and trust in me and walk with me, I'll impart them to you. And you will see that my servant is telling you the truth, saith the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it says earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the best gifts, the best for you, the best for the edification of the church, the choice graces, and yet I show you a more excellent way, one that is better by far, the highest of all, and that's love. If you don't have love, none of the gifts are going to do any good anyway, you see. Now, it says in chapter 14, verse 1, in the Amplified, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, especially that you may prophesy. Now, I used to read that, and I didn't want to prophesy. I didn't want to prophesy. I wanted the gifts of healing. And that disturbed me to no end. But I couldn't get away from it, especially that you may prophesy. But I didn't care anything at all about prophesying. None. I'd never prophesied. You know, I just starting out in this. But that's an earnestly desire, the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, why would God say that? I just might as well say it because God knew what to say. I don't want to prophesy. If you don't mind, I'll just skip that. I'd like to get some healing. I want to see sick people heal. That's a great burden of my heart, you see. But you know, you got to be scriptural if you're going to please God. Whether you like it or not, you got to come back to the Bible and do what God says. If God says forgive, you got to forgive. If God said love your enemies, you got to love your enemies. If God says do good to those that despitefully use you, you got to do it. God said, pray for the gift. I ask for the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So I started out kind of like this, Lord, let me prophesy, but I really won't pray for the sick. And I'd rather have the other things, but let me prophesy. And then I kind of got into it, you know, and I got serious. I said, well, maybe there's something I don't know about it, you know. And so I'd seen people prophesy. And I was in a home prayer meeting. Never will forget it, Junior. You were probably there when I gave my first prophecy. I'll tell you, something fell on me like a bucket of hot molten something, you know, and I began to tingle. Now, you don't have to have this to get to prophecy, but God was helping me out. You know, I just felt good all over more than any other place. And I tell you the truth, I felt a desire to tell these people something. And I began to talk to them. And I didn't know to say, thus saith the Lord, because I didn't know whether it was the Lord or not, you know, or anything like that. But I just began to exhort the people. And finally, when I got through, I just said to myself, I wonder what that was. And the Lord whispered to me and said, that's prophecy. I said, oh, glory to God for prophecy. Hallelujah. I never felt so good prophesying. And you know, I began to give myself to prophecy, and I discovered that in the prophetic utterance, it telescoped. And you know this, Brother Don, into the revelation gifts. I didn't even have any idea about that. But as I began to prophesy and to move in that realm of prophecy, which is possibly one of the easiest gifts to enter into, and one that God wants all of us to have, because it edifies the body and helps other Christians. It exhorts, edifies, and comforts the body. But above that and beyond that, it telescopes into the revelation gifts, even into praying for the sick and how to pray for the sick. And that's how God led me into praying especially for the sick. Through yielding into prophecy, I could get into the revelation gifts and begin to move on out into areas like that. And then I learned the touch of God upon my life, see, through prophecy. When God came on me in prophecy, I learned to recognize His presence. I learned to recognize the anointing rising within me, see? So don't think God's a dum-dum. God is pretty smart. Are you out there? If He said especially that you may prophesy, He knows the best way. So we ought to do what God says. We ought to earnestly desire these spiritual gifts. They are the weapons of our warfare, but especially that we may prophesy. And did you know I've held a prophecy for 3 or 4 days? I've held a prophecy for a week. And some people have to jump up and say, bless God, I got it, I got to give it. Something's making me do it. That's not God. You can wait for a time. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. But you say, I felt like it was for so-and-so. Well, go over there after the church and put your hands lovingly on them and say, I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. And whisper it in their heart, in their ear, you know, and put it in their heart. Well, you see, you can flow with God. But all of you can prophesy. But you don't have to prophesy in church all the time. You can prophesy in your prayer meetings. You can prophesy other places. But especially that you might prophesy. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, in the gifts of the Spirit, seek to excel where you may edify the church. Edify the church. Now, these are our weapons. Now, you could go to the book of Acts today, and you could just begin right from the very beginning of the book of Acts, and you could see that they used these weapons, and they didn't fight their battles carnally. Now, you see, we've been here now. This is what? We're going in our 9th year, isn't it, Dodie? And we've had lots of things come up. And we could have ruined this church if we had attacked them head on in a carnal way. Now, as far as I know, we don't have any problems. If we do, I don't know what they are. If we ever do, put them on a shelf. Just pray about them. But you see, we wait on God about things. Oh, somebody said, did you know such and such happened? And did you know this is going on? So forth and so on. And did you know? Oh, they think that everything's going to blow up. Now, we don't have anything like that. But, you know, we've had people in days past come that way. We just smile. We know that God will keep us informed about anything concerning this church that we ought to know. We know that God's not disinterested in us. And we depend on the spiritual gifts of God to do our warring and not in a carnal way. Well, you say, what if somebody gets out of line and just won't line up? We'll just pray for him, soak him in prayer, love him to life,
And just let God deal with him. Let me tell you something. If somebody disrupts and hurts the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ like right here, God Almighty will deal with that man. Jesus Christ will deal with that person. Are you out there? And we depend on the Holy Ghost. Why, in the book of Acts, when they began to speak in tongues, that started it. There's the gift of tongues there, you see. And then there in the third chapter, they had the gifts of miracles. And then in the fifth chapter, they had the gifts of revelation. And you know, over there where Paul had that man come against him, the sorcerer there, he didn't depend upon himself. He depended upon God. And God gave him a miracle. And he set blindness, a mist of darkness on that man all the way through. God just had the people pray. And the doors were opened by angels. And the gifts of God just were manifested everywhere. We don't have to fight the devil in carnal ways. You know that God will help you raise your family and fight the battles of life, the fight of faith by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He'll help you do it in your business. He'll help you do it in your family. Did you know that God, by the gifts of revelation, will tell you what your children are doing? I know that may just perk up all the children and give them no hope. But God told me, I was in a motel room one time. God says, your child is doing thus and so. And he was. Exactly. It's a very strange thing, hiding something. You say, which one? Not going to tell you. God will tell you. Why, God would tell me what Dodie's doing. She's at Foley's. Just charged $322.07. He could if he wanted to. Isn't that right? God will give you wisdom by the gifts of the Holy Ghost to know how to raise your children and to know how to get along in your home and how to be successful in your business. The gifts of the Holy Ghost are mighty. And the devil is no match for someone who is daily filled with the Holy Spirit and available for the Holy Ghost to work in their lives. So if I've done nothing more today with the help of God, I trust that we have created in you a desire to pray and seek after and to be manifested in your life the gifts of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. I don't want to come to a level and say, well, I'm just there now. I'm just going to stay there. I know what I'm to do the rest of my life. I'll tell you, there's something in me that wants to push in deeper. And to see mightier miracles, mightier manifestations, greater help for the body of Christ, greater help for the sick and the suffering. Oh, Bobby, there's something in me that says you haven't arrived yet. I tell you, it'll be a sad day to stand in the presence of Jesus and to see that I have only reached a one-fourth of the potential that he had for my ministry and for your ministry. What a tragedy. Oh, friends, let's be filled with love and ask God to help us excel in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to edify the body of Christ. Isn't that a good message?
Amen.
Isn't that a good message? I like that. And I want you to see that I quit early. You know, I told Dodie, I said, you know, I believe I can do better than I've been doing. I believe I could preach and give them just a little bit less, and maybe it'll work out a little bit better. You know, you just grow, as you grow younger, you get longer-winded, I guess, or something. But that was all right, and I didn't go too long. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be so happy about it. Okay, another hour. Praise God. Here I go. Now, Don, they really mean that. They really mean that. No, next episode tonight and then Wednesday night. Praise God. Brother Don will be ministering tonight. Would you bow your heads in prayer? I want you to say thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost, for the precious Holy Ghost. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I desire, I deeply desire the mighty gifts of the Spirit, the weapons of my warfare. Oh, use me as a channel to help the body of Christ, to reach the lost. Let me be a channel. Let me be supernaturally endowed. I cultivate and earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But above all, fill me with love. Let me walk in love, live in love, move in love, be guided by love, saturated with love, motivated by love, in Jesus' name. Now let's praise him that he heard us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Master. We love you, Master. We love you, Master. Oh, we love you, Jesus. What a joy, Lord, to serve you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. We praise you, Master. We love you, Master. We count it such a joy to be in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While our heads are bowed in prayer, we're praying. I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have peace in my heart. I'm not living for God. If I died right now, I don't have the assurance I'd go to heaven. Lift your hand high. Men on the front, help me look. Lift your hand high. And let me see your hand. All right, there's one. I don't have the assurance. Two, three. Thank you. You can put them down now. Anybody else? I don't have the assurance that I'd go to heaven. I don't have peace in my heart. Would you lift your hand? Lift your hand. There's another one back there. You know whether you have peace or not. There's another one. I saw that one. Thank you. Anyone else? If I'm not right with God, I know I'm not living for God. I know it in my heart. There's a little hand. Anyone else? Lift your hand high. I saw three or four, but others that have not been lifted. Lift them up. Lift them up. There's another. God bless you. There's another. God bless you. Oh, Jesus loves you. He loves you. Anyone else? I don't have peace with God. There's another one over here. There's another one back there. I'm not living for God. I don't have peace with God. I know it. Pray for me. Lift your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lift your hand quickly. All you people that lifted your hand, there's another. Stand up. Would you just stand up right where you are? Every person that lifted your hand, stand. There's one, two, three, four, five. Stand up. Six, seven, eight, nine. Anyone else? Keep standing. Keep standing. Now you people look at me that are standing up especially. You wouldn't be in this church today if you didn't have a desire from God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Just stay right there, sister. That's all right. Oh, no, you're here because the Lord's hand is on you. Nobody, Jesus said, can come to me unless the Father draws him. And you've been drawn to come to church today. You said, yes, I'll go, because the hand of God is drawing you to Jesus. He loves you so much. And you don't have to live in the twilight zone of uncertainty. You can know that you're saved. Know that you're right with God. You say, well, what shall I do? Jesus said, he that confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You say, how can I really be saved? Open your heart and accept Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord. Look at me, would you? I want you to boldly and quickly march down here and take my hand and say, I take Jesus as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. Come on and meet me right down here, would you? Real quickly, come on. Just boldly, come on from the back. Come on from the back. Come on back here. Come on right now. Folks, isn't it wonderful to see them coming? Thank God, thank God, thank God. Say, I take Jesus as my Savior and confess him as my Lord. And he takes you, thank God. Amen, and he takes you. Amen, and he takes you. And he takes you and confesses you before the Father that you belong to him. And he takes you. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. Say it out loud. I take Jesus
as my Savior.
I confess him as my Lord.
I confess him as my Lord.
And he confesses you before the Father today. He confesses you before the Father today. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Stay there. I take Jesus as my Savior. I confess him as my Lord. And he takes you too, darling. Stand right here. Say, I take Jesus as my Savior. And I confess him as my Lord. He takes you too. I take Jesus as my Savior. Confess him as my Lord. Praise God. Stay right there. Stay right there. Now there was one young man that didn't come. Maybe he has a reason. But you know, I went to church intending to go down that aisle and I wouldn't go. I couldn't go. I just didn't somehow get the courage. But somebody put his arm around me and said, I'll go with you if you'll go. And that's the day I got saved. And I just want to pray that God will give you courage just to step down here and finish that transaction. You say, well, maybe you serve God. I don't know. Maybe you just drifted away. Well, even if you're cold in your heart, doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. And I felt a special pull towards you a while ago. Here comes another one. Maybe he wants to come with you on the back. Thank God, here comes two. Praise God. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. On their way to Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I take Jesus as my Savior. Confess him as my Lord. Say it. You've already been saved. Just came with your husband. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Just stay right there. Thank God. Anyone else? You're not ashamed of Jesus, though you're not living for him. You'll take your stand for him in this evil day and accept him. Oh, I feel that there's somebody right over in here that needs the Lord. Oh, if you're not right with God, get up and come on, come on, come on. Everybody over here that's saved, living for God, put up your hand. Lift it up high. I want to see it. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you. Put it down. Anyone else want to come quick? Quickly. Just get up. Just dare to get up and walk down here. Jesus said, he that's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him. But he that confesses me before me, and I'll confess before my Father. Anyone else want to come quickly? Now look here, folks. You didn't come to get religion. You came to get eternal life. Eternal life. If I could give you a cup and it was filled with a special nectar and I said you could drink this and never die, live on forever with eternal life, wouldn't you get it and grab it and drink it? Jesus came to give you eternal life. Oh, your body will die if Jesus tarries, but you on the inside will live on forever and forever and forever with eternal life where there'll never be death. Thank God. What's your first name? Betty. I saw Betty looking at me telling about this. Her eyes got big, and I tell you, she just got a glow on her face. She was saying, in effect, you mean I've got eternal life? She does. Hallelujah. Thank God. You didn't just decide to turn over a new leaf and, you know, try to live right. When you accept Jesus, he puts the nature of God in you. He gives you eternal life. And you are ruined for sinning. You can't enjoy sin anymore. You can try it, but it'll make you miserable. Aren't you glad? Oh, you doesn't make a difference whether you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, or what. The main thing is, do you have eternal life? Well, Jesus finally got you, didn't he? He's been after you a long time. And you fought a long, hard battle, but today you gave up to the arms of love. Aren't you glad? I want all of you to say with them and say it out loud. Listen now. Say it. Thank God Jesus is in my heart.
I am saved.
Jesus is my Lord.
I have peace.
All my sins are gone. They're gone. I'm clean. My name has now been written on the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb is Jesus. I've got eternal life. So I have been enrolled before the Father, as one who has been saved. I'm saved. I've got eternal life. Now, if you believe it, put up both hands with them and let's praise God. Say, thank you that I'm saved, Father. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah.